Distinguished rabbis, communal leaders, ladies and gentlemen, I am both honored and humbled to have the opportunity to address you on this truly momentous occasion. Today marks the culmination of almost a week's worth of celebrations by Jews around the world, and what has been accomplished at these various siyumim, especially at the major one in the United States, is truly remarkable. But we must appreciate what a special zechus we have to celebrate a siyum hashas, not in a football stadium and not in New Jersey, but in this magnificent Mikdash Ma'at in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Ashreinu matov chelkenu, how fortunate are we. We must also be aware that even more than we can see, which is beautiful, and even more than we can feel, which is exhilarating, tonight we are part of something much more and something even bigger. This past Shabbos we read about Moshe's declaration immediately after the conclusion of the Aseret Dibros, that es hadvarim ha'ela diber Hashem el kol kahalchem, that these historic commandments were spoken by God to the entire congregation, in the mountain, out of the fire, cloud, etc. The Sfas Emes is bothered by why it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Kol Kahalchem. After all, wouldn't the pasuk convey the exact same meaning that the entire nation heard the Aseret Dibros if it read Diber Hashem El Kahalchem, minus the word kol? Why the need for the extra word? The Sfas Emes explains beautifully that the pasuk is not just referring to the events that occurred at that time, but also includes kol hakihilos shemis asfin b'nei Yisrael tamid, all future gatherings that take place. Kol kahalchem in the verse teaches us, the Sfas Emes continues, Shekol his asfu shel b'nei Yisrael l'dorei doros yicholin l'orer osan hadvarim. Whenever Jewish people gather for the purpose of strengthening their relationship with the Rabbono shel Olam, we can access the same blessings, the same spiritual energy, and the same inspiration that b'nei Yisrael experienced at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. Certainly then, this siyum, which a community has come together, ki ish echad b'lev echad, united in heart and purpose, all to pay homage to the study of Torah, is the type of hisaskus, in the words of the Sfas Emes, worthy of being the latest link in this historic chain going all the way back to Har Sinai. Today we pay tribute not only to the Lomdei Hadaf Yomi, those who learned day after day after day, but also the concept of Daf Yomi. When Rav Meir Shapiro initiated the Daf Yomi, he envisioned the advantages of a consistent daily learning regimen that could unite Jews living in Poland, the United States, and around the world. 7.5 years later, when speaking at the very first Siyum Hashas in Lublin, Rav Meir Shapiro elaborated on this theme with a brilliant drush of the Gemara, the end of Masechta Yevamos, which recounts that Rabbi Gamliel was once at sea when he witnessed another ship sink in the murky waters. He was particularly distressed, the Gemara recounts, because he knew that none other than the great Rabbi Akiva was on that ship. Not long after this tragic episode, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Gamliel was shocked to see Rabbi Akiva, alive and well, walk into the Beis Medrash. When asked how he survived when everyone else on the ship had perished, Rabbi Akiva explained, Daf shel Sfina nizdamen li. I grabbed hold of a board floating in the sea. V'chol gal v'gal Shabbailai Nanati Lo Roshi. In this way, I was able to stay afloat despite the waves that crashed over me. Rav Meir Shapiro explained homiletically that the Gemara is revealing not only how Rabbi Akiva survived, but on a deeper level, the secret of all Jewish survival throughout the ages. V'chol gal v'gal sheba aleinu, when the waves of history come crashing down on us, whether it be the waves of gullus and churban, of destruction and dispersion, or the waves of hatred and holocaust, and even the waves of assimilation and apathy, the one tried and true salvation is to grab hold of the daf, not the board, but the pages of the Gemara, the daf yomi, the daily learning of the same daf as Jews around the world are learning. That's the daf that has preserved the Jewish people throughout this long and bitter galus. And that's the daf that will continue to be our lifeline until the Geula Shleima. The last 80 years, from the first Siyum HaShas until this year's 12th Siyum, has witnessed unprecedented misfortune and unprecedented blessing. We have coped with the Hester Panim of the Shoah and then celebrated the Nes of the State of Israel. We've had successes and failures, triumph and tragedy, and we continue to have our ups and downs. But through it all, the wisdom of Rav Meir Shapiro's insight has been confirmed. Those that have survived and thrived are those who, by and large, have remained connected to the daf. Jewish learning that is both daily and lifelong has been the most consistent and reliable buffer against the winds and waves of change. For all of the achievements of Daf Yomi, the consistency, the unity of our people, and the breadth of knowledge that it encourages, perhaps the most significant is the sense of machayiv that it brings to one's learning. The notion of obligation of chiyuv is central to Judaism. The word mitzvah, as we know, does not mean good deed, but is correctly translated as command. The Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin famously teaches that gadol mitzuvah v'osa, those that observe the Torah out of obligation, receive greater reward than those who volunteer. The role of duty with regards to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah specifically is highlighted by the Birchos HaTorah, which we say every morning. These blessings are multifaceted and reflect a number of important themes. But, as Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has noted, the order of these brachos, as much as their content, is instructive. We begin with Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, acknowledging that we are commanded to learn. Second, the Harevna, we pray that our studies will be sweet and gratifying. And finally, Asher Bachar Banu, we thank God for the Torah. Of course, we want our study of Torah to be enjoyable. And this is especially important when it comes to teaching our children and students. Similarly, it is imperative that we express our appreciation for receiving the Torah. But first and foremost, we recognize that we are mitzuveh. That is our obligation to study Torah. We learn not only because we want to, but because we must. There is simply no learning regimen, especially for someone who is not a full-time student, which gives a person a sense of duty the way Daf Yomi does. Day in and day out, no matter how busy or tired, there is no day off. You've got to learn the daf. Whether you're at home or on vacation early in the morning or late at night, you've got to learn the daf. Whether in a shir, on your iPod, or even on your own, you've got to learn the daf. Even when it's not Baharevna, it's always the Tzivanu. Think about it. On Yom Kippur, after a long day of davening, after many hours of fasting, when everyone else goes home for a short break before Mincha, who is in shul learning? It's those few dedicated souls who remain behind, despite being tired and hungry. Because even then, you've got to do the daf. I actually experienced this sense of obligation personally just a few days ago. Like many others, I decided that Bli Neder, for the first time, I would learn along with the current cycle of Daf Yomi. It's only been a week so far, but so good. But the unique power of Daf Yomi became readily apparent to me when on Tuesday, just a few days ago, I went to pick up my daughter from the airport. As I went to the car, at the last minute, I grabbed a small Gemara, just in case there would be a little bit of time to learn while I waited. Sure enough, as I stood with hundreds of others waiting for the passengers to exit, I was able to sneak in a few minutes of learning the daf. I can honestly tell you that had I not been learning Daf Yomi, I would not have thought to bring a Gemara along with me to the airport. But the power of the daf is that I'm not unique. Variations of this story occur to countless people every day. Learning requires commitment, and there's no mechayev like Daf Yomi. We live in an increasingly complex and busy world. Our days are hectic. We're often juggling multiple responsibilities. But far from excusing us, this reality actually underscores a subtle but crucial benefit of Daf Yomi and really all Torah study. The Gemara relates that Rav Yosef used to make a party, a celebration, every Shavuos in order to celebrate that day in which we were given the Torah. Why? He explained. Because if it wouldn't have been for the giving of the Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. The common understanding of this statement is that he's declaring that if it wouldn't have been for the Torah, he would have been just an ordinary Joe. Nothing special. But now that we have been given the Torah, he is celebrating the blessings that this event has brought to his life. Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Ruderman, Zichrono Livracha, suggested a different explanation, which is both profound and, I believe, relevant. People are complicated, to put it mildly. We all wear many different hats. We have multiple relationships, obligations, and personality traits, and we're torn in different directions. We have our families, our careers, our communities, and they all vie for our attention. It's hard to keep track of, let alone balance, everything. And this, said Rav Ruderman, is what Rav Yosef was addressing. If it wouldn't be for Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, how many different Yosefs would there be in my own life? Without Torah, my life would be so disjointed. There'd be this Yosef and that Yosef, the one over there and the one over here, and none of the Yosefs would go together. He celebrated, therefore, because Torah had brought an inner harmony to the different aspects of his life. If this was a challenge for Rav Yosef, how much more so for us? Has there ever been a time when people's lives were more fragmented than they are now? We are so busy, so torn, so exposed, and so often confused. But the scope and depth of Torah is such that if we study its words and apply its wisdom, it has the unique ability to be a ma'ached, to unify all of the different areas of life. Part of the beauty of Torah is not just what it can do to us, but what it can do for us. In a famous essay, Rav Soloveitchik wondered why Yaakov, as opposed to Avram and Yitzchak, merited that the Jewish people be named after him, that were known by his name, B'nai Yisrael, or Beis Yaakov. Why not, like his father or his grandfather? Why not Beis Avraham or B'nai Yitzchak? The Rav is also bothered by why the Torah and the Midrash often refer to Yaakov as the Zakein or Saba, when in fact both Avraham and Yitzchak lived longer than he did. Why, if he lived the shortest of all of our forefathers, is he called the old one? The answer to both of these questions, suggested the Rav, is that it was Yaakov who discovered the secret to Jewish continuity. The key to perpetuating our Mesorah is the ability to connect with and communicate to the younger generation. But how can we do this? Don't people of different generations speak different languages? Don't they enjoy different music or appreciate different fashion? The generation gap, as it's known, is real, but it must be bridged for Judaism to not only survive, but thrive, midor l'dor. And this, explains the Rav, was the riddle that Yaakov solved when he began learning Torah with his grandchildren, with Ephraim and Menashe. Chazal teach us that after Yaakov went down to Egypt, b'chalyom v'yom yoshtin v'oskin v'torah l'fanav, he had a daily chavrusa with his grandchildren. The only way to erase the bonds of time is to use the medium of Torah which is beyond time. The elderly grandfather of the Alter Chaim was able to connect with the young grandchildren of the New World. Language or culture may be different, but the essence of Torah remains the same. There is no record of either Avram or Yitzchak having this sort of a relationship with their grandchildren, but Yaakov did, and this is why he truly lived longer than those who came before him, and that this is why we're called Yaakov's descendants, because he is the one who created the means through which Jewish continuity is ensured. That ability to link to the generations, the dream of every family, is what Torah can do for us. I know the truth of this insight because I experienced it personally with my own grandfather. My Zaidi Yalav HaShalom was a Holocaust survivor who as a child had been accepted into Rav Meir Shapiro's prestigious Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Although as an adult and Holocaust survivor, he never had the time, or honestly at that point in his life, the patience to learn the way he had when he was younger. He never lost his love for learning. And when I matured enough to share that love, we used to spend time learning together. In those precious moments, all of the differences of age and background melted away as the Torah merged generations. In conclusion, tonight as we celebrate the amazing accomplishment of those who have completed Shas and reaffirm our dedication to learning, whether it's the Daf Yomi or a slower paced style of learning Gemara, Halacha or Tanakh, Musar or Machshava, every person can find an area of study which can become part of a daily routine. Baruch Hashem, in recent years, more and more people, including women, are being exposed to the beauty of Torah. But it's not enough to acknowledge this reality. We must build on it. Each person on his or her own level should use the excitement from this and all of the other siyumim to take it to the next level. And collectively, we can improve both the quantity and quality of learning in our community. A number of years ago, I read about an old man who walked into a Beis Medrash here in Yerushalayim and began to learn himself. After a few minutes, the Rosh Yeshiva approached and welcomed this man. And in conversation, the man asked about the identity of the yeshiva. When Rav David Soloveitchik identified himself and said that this was Yeshivas Brisk, the man, visibly stunned, asked, "Reb Chaim Lepnach? Is Reb Chaim still alive?" Apparently the old man had studied in Brisk almost a century earlier, but then, having been swept up by the communist revolution, eventually was exiled to some remote part of the former Soviet Union. After 3/4 of a century completely separated from the rest of the Jewish world, he was able to immigrate to Israel, where shortly thereafter he wandered into the Brisker Yeshiva and wondered naively whether Reb Chaim was still alive. Of course, the answer to this question is an emphatic yes. Reb Chaim and all of the other Chachmei Mesorah are alive and well, as their words and insights are being studied every day by Jews around the world. And just as important, the thousands of people who have celebrated at the numerous siyumim over this past week provide emphatic testimony that our community leapt nach, that we are alive. So with one eye on the past, we turn to Rav Meir Shapiro and we say, Rabban Shel Yisrael, your legacy lives on, we're holding on to the daf. And with another eye towards the future, we turn to Hashem and we say, Rabbono Shel Olam, we know that the Torah is the true source of life. Eitz Chaim Hi, L'macha Zikim Bo. May it continue until the Geula Shlema, speedily in our days.